If only you'd thought of that great comeback when it counted, instead of 16 minutes later, or 16 hours later, or 16 years later. Maybe it wasn't worth the wait. This post is about a bizarrely late letter to a scientific journal about some old muscle knot evidence, which is still controversial. Controversy about the common sore spots in muscle known as trigger points is entirely about how they work. We all agree that there's a clinical phenomenon that needs explaining, and we all argue incessantly about what the explanation is. In other words, the question isn't whether they exist, but what is it that exists? This is Paul Ingram of PainScience.com, and this is the PainSci Updates podcast, a members-only podcast of audio versions of some of my blog posts, often with improvised digressions. Today I'm reading the post, Trigger Points Debate Delayed Greatly, published September 27, 2024, which is 16 years after Shaw et al. Published particularly interesting evidence about the etiology of trigger points, reporting that they are acidic and sloppy with waste metabolite support for the controversial tiny cramp hypothesis of sore spots, but never replicated. This experiment has never been done again by anyone else or attempted by anyone else, as far as I know, and I'm pretty sure I would have heard about it. It was easy for skeptics to dismiss as just one study and an error-prone one at that, way back then, but did anyone write a strongly worded letter? 16 years later, Albert Maraska and Robert Hickner have expressed their concerns in a letter to the journal. Science moves slowly. I can hardly think of a better example of it than this. An exchange of words ensued, which was basically like this: Maraska and Hickner, what you did was so technically tricky that the extraordinary results seem dodgy. Shaw et al. Reply, yes, science is hard. We acknowledge the limitations, and the result was plausible. Maraska and Hickner, is not. Okay, so their basic concern applies to many famous scientific results that were ultimately replicated and more that weren't. It's a legitimate point, but also mostly moot without more evidence. But here are some highlights for nerdy fun. Probing the probe. Microdialysis is how we study the molecules in tissue fluid. You insert a hollow needle probe filled with saline solution, and small molecules drift into it, just like they would into a capillary. Et voila, just measure what comes out. It gets very technical, and Shaw et al. Had to push the technology forward. MNH called it a self-fabricated probe, implying amateurishness and unreliability, and Shaw et al. Objected rather tartly, quote, "This implies the needles were homemade." In fact, the probe was built by, quote, "highly skilled engineering staff in a technical laboratory, and the system underwent a comprehensive review by microdialysis experts selected by the journal." MNH had no follow-up on that. Half of science is upgrading tools, and I can invent a plausible statistic that, 70% of all landmark studies probably involved novel new instrumentation. The acid, it burns. pH is a measure of how acidic or alkaline a substance is. Yeah, I'm going to give you a pH recap because I needed it myself. I don't think I've ever thought about pH without struggling to remember how it works. So here's your reminder. It's a measure of how acidic or alkaline a substance is on a weird scale from 0 to 14, with neutrality in the middle at 7, and acidity in the lower half, 0 to 7, and alkalinity in the upper half, from 7 to 14. It's also an exponential scale, like the Richter scale. Shaw et al. Reported pH in the same ballpark as coffee and beer, which sounds tame, but that's actually crazy for muscle tissue, and MNH just can't believe it. Quote, "The reported muscle pH of 4.2 within an active trigger point is unlikely, as it would cause permanent cellular protein damage." But why would protein damage break plausibility here? It does make the claim somewhat more extraordinary, for sure, but we're talking about investigating a pathology after all. you're looking for trouble and you're hoping for informative surprises. Shaw et al. Write, quote, "Who is to say that there is not protein tissue damage associated with trigger points? A lower pH is not only quite possible, but to be expected, especially if the normally protective buffering mechanisms are disrupted." They make several other points about this in principle and detail, a full page about this one concern. Here are some of the things that they said that were relatively easily summarized. Low pH has been noted by others. There are known cellular sensors for very low pH. The pH they measured wasn't necessarily limited to muscle, and there is evidence of denatured proteins in stressed muscle. The rebuttal from MNH contains only a complaint that the citations are inadequate. Quote, "None of these references alter our skepticism." So they're calling bogus citation, which is something I have some sympathy for, having coined the term bogus citation and written a lot over the years about how many citations don't actually support the point that they are supposed to support. But I don't see it here. And there was a lot of other really clear points in principle that needed to be addressed as well. I don't think that Shaw et al. Were claiming that the evidence they cited was perfect for the points that they made. There's always a range of quality in the evidence supporting any point. And I don't think they were saying that it's a slam dunk or anything, but they explained in detail why it isn't crazy to think that you might find pretty low pH in a trigger point. My final judgment is that Shaw et al. Have claimed a pointless victory here. I don't think Maraska and Hickner are actually all that skeptical about trigger points in general, which is kind of interesting, but they are certainly skeptical about these experiments. And I have no objection to the spirit of their call for, quote, caution when referencing these studies. But was it worth the wait? The need for caution always seemed obvious to anyone who matters, to anyone who's remotely good at this. And the only solution has been replication, replication, replication. Here's what I originally wrote about these experiments in the late 2000s. Cautious from the start, and I'd like to emphasize before reading this short excerpt that this was early in my career. Before I was a baby skeptic at this stage. I barely understood critical analysis back then compared to the way I understand it now. And yet, even back then, without the benefit of Maraska and Hickner's letter, this is what I wrote. "In a complicated and very technical experiment, it is all too easy for researchers to find the result that they want to find. This is why independent confirmation from other experiments is always essential. This research has still not been replicated as far as I know, and it has been criticized and dismissed by some. So take it all with a grain of salt for now, maybe effectively forever, at the pace this research moves." That was prescient, because here we are, 16 years later, still unreplicated, still cautious. I think that MNH's criticism leans too heavily into you just can't trust these fancy techniques. But I like Shaw et al.'s thoughtful and detailed response. So I give the debate win to Shaw et al. Here, and I'll give them the last word, which is, quote, "These authors encourage the letter writers to collect data and perform controlled studies using well-designed methods and instruments to further investigations relevant to myofascial pain that test their hypotheses as suggested in their letter." In other words, get to work in the lab. Thanks very much for listening. I will talk to you again soon.